what got his ass now?
You have to be fast on the track.
I hate that guy.
This race could change the rest of your life.
Those absolute clowns at 15BMX.com.
Go on, do my best, and whatever happens, it's good.
My butt all got stretched a little bit.
I got a tight little butt.
Look, I'm about to light this shit up.
Coffee Chatter Live, where are you guys at? Oh, Canada! Coming out of the answer tent right now. Pop Dog, Millionaire! Let's make some noise, Tory Nighthawk! Whoa!
Show 219, Santiago del Estero 1, recap show. Happy Thanksgiving, Canada, October 9th, Monday. Fuck yeah, James. Happy Thanksgiving, buddy.
Bring the energy, buddy. We need it. Bring that energy. It is Thanksgiving weekend up here. It's Canadian Grands weekend up here. At least it was. And it's, you know, one of our favorite weekends, Santiago del Estero World Cup weekend. That's just a huge one.
It was a big week. It was a big weekend in general in the BMX world. You had the Argentina World Cup. You had the Canadian BMX Canada Grand Nationals. And you had the San Diego Whole Shot Challenge. We'll get into it. Proget Europe winning starts at the Great Gate. Gonzalo fucking Molina. Did I call this one or did I call this one?
How does it feel? Does it feel good just being right? Like when just spot on?
Like, I don't want to gloat, but fuck, I was right.
You're spot on there. Did he talk about a guy who comes through with great gates in Argentina, specifically in Santiago del Estero?
I know we talked about it last show, like his average finish in Europe was like 39.1. I think he was a 6.4 or something in Santiago del Estero previous years.
Yep.
And I knew he was going to do the same thing. I don't understand how you go from the level in Europe he rides at to the level. It's like two completely different riders.
Dude, it's shocking. The difference he has, like it
is unreal.
The numbers don't lie either. We're talking like a 30th kind of guy in Europe to a top five guy in Santiago del Estero every time.
An elite winner, like barring Romain and Joris, basically.
Yeah, absolutely insane. And to be honest, the same thing goes with Torres. That guy, he's done it a little better in Europe, I'd say recently. Gets the result here and there. But dude just absolutely steps up when it comes to Santiago, and it shows. It's incredible.
His style is the definition of fast and loose.
Dude, I gotta be real. It's the jankiest style I've ever watched.
Oh my God. But he just hauls ass from the first corner to the finish line of that track. He's been doing that same move in the last corner for the past 7 years, and it just works every fucking time.
I'm being realistic. I absolutely hate how it looks. I think it looks dorky as heck, but dude, he is so quick. You can't say shit about it.
I don't think people realize how good the high-low move he does in the last corner is. Like, if he swings wide, he, like, turns somehow on the flat.
It's ridiculous. And the way he kind of has the same style as Romain, he just hangs off the side of his bike like he's riding an ATV, like a quad or something, just hanging off the side. Let me hold the bike over here and just do this weird number. Dude, it's something else.
You know what? It's like, if you're in front of him, how the fuck do you defend it? Because if you're in front, you don't have eyes in the back of your head. So, like, the only way you could really defend it is if you swung way wide too and tried to carve across, but then you leave the inside way open. So you can't really realistically do that. It's almost an impossible move to defend if you're ahead of him.
Kind of. Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of ridiculous that way. It's like no one seems to be able to do that turn and turn the way he does. And it's like, unless you're like right beside him and you can, if you can tell it's him, you just hug him to the outside. Yeah. But it's like, otherwise, like he does it out of nowhere in the sense of like, most people to high low, they get pretty close. He seems to be way back sometimes, or at least far enough that you're like, no problem. And he does the high low and somehow just is equal on the flat. It's like, what the fuck, dude?
Man, he was hauling ass in the main on the first day. Dude. Jesus, we'll get into it. But man, if you timed him from like the first turn to the finish line, unreal split.
Crazy. He loves those turns. It's absolutely insane. So, I mean, if he was turning, he'd be turning on a Proget Europe, guys. So get yours today.
Proget here, winning starts the Great Gate. Gonzalo Molina, fantastic starter. Gosh. Same with Cam Wood. Gates look good.
So good. Dude, really good.
We'll get into more details, but
Let's quickly just chat about the other things that were going on. Almost forgot about, first of all, Canadian Grands. So that was kind of wild that was happening. And then, to be honest, with all the hype around this, I'd say Santiago had some way bigger hype than Sarayan's World Cup did. I don't know what it is. Just maybe with people traveling down there, I felt like it was on my mind a lot more. So I completely forgot about the Hole Shot Challenge going on.
There's a lot of shit going on in the BMX world. I was bummed to miss Chilliwack because I went last year and I have a bunch of my Canadian riders there racing. So I was bummed to miss that one, but it looked like a good race. That is an absolute staple in Canadian BMX now, the big Red Barn Grand Nationals. Yep. I think this was the 20th year, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow. I have no idea. Wait, only 20?
Because I'm pretty sure it started in 2003 because I raced it.
You think you went to the first time we went there?
Uh-huh.
Definitely. Wow. That's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. 20th anniversary. Let's go.
I'm pretty sure. I'm positive.
That just shows how much younger the BMX scene, I think, is in Canada compared to the other places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. The Hole Shot Challenge was awesome. Unfortunate timing, obviously, the same weekend as the World Cup in Argentina. There were a lot of pros that came last year they're all in Argentina pretty much, that I think probably would have come back this year. Mm-hmm. So that was too bad. But, you know, I know we were talking about the schedule a bit last show too. There's so many races these days. Like, it seems like every weekend there's just multiple races everywhere. Yeah. Like, there's never almost downtime now, I feel like.
Not really, hey. Like, there's always something. Like, with the ABA schedule, like Canadian stuff, these like special events like Tyler's putting on, stuff in Europe, World Cup, everything. There's always something going on. There was like right before the World Cup, was it last weekend? There was the, Asian Games or something like that, I think. Mm-hmm. So it's like there's something going on all the time these days. It's kind of nuts.
But yeah, the Hole Shot Challenge was cool. Tyler puts on a great event. Very organized. I love doing stuff with Tyler because you know what you're going to get. He's going to tell you what he's going to do. He'll tell you like if he can do that or not. And then he'll just deliver, which I really appreciate. There's no you don't have to worry about stuff being on time.
You're not making stuff up as you go. He has a plan.
No. It's all set up.
Yeah. That's cool.
Go ahead.
He knows how to put on a good event, it seems like, at this point, with running the tracks totally. For as many years as he has and putting on a few of these events, the Hole Shot Challenges, that he understands, like, I don't know, just the basics of how to put on an event and make it a good, entertaining show.
Yeah. So the cool thing about this year is he had different age groups. They had the Pro-Am men and Pro-Am women with pros and, like, older amateurs. And they also had, like, 9 and under, 10 to 12, 13 to 14, maybe. Can't remember exactly. And then 15 and over, then Pro-Am, basically.
Okay.
It was cool. Riders were going for broke. Like, there was, like, action in the first corner. There were some big crashes out of the first corner. Like,
really?
There was, like, a four-dude pile-up one round, which you don't like to see, but you love the intensity, you know? Yeah. You want to see action. Tyler's a great announcer, too. So I had a good time announcing with him. I think we both fit into our roles well because he's more like he's more of the play-by-play like guy, hype guy, you know?
Yep.
And I feel like I'm more like the conversational, maybe color commentary type guy. So we complemented each other well.
That is, yeah, he does have that way of being able to just, I don't want to say methodically because I'm sure you both are, and to be a color commentator, you do have to be, but he's very much like, yeah, he understands how to announce something. You understand how to talk about something, I feel like.
I'm not a hype. I'm not like a hype play-by-play guy. That's not my forte.
You know what's funny is when we do this, I feel like it's the opposite way where you kind of you're good at running and keeping on track most of the time. And I'm just like kind of giving thoughts and ideas, feedback, stuff every now and again. And then we switch every now and again, but it's like, yeah.
But yeah, Tyler's and he's good like with the crowd and stuff. Obviously, like we do giveaways and stuff. It was fun. One of the challenges, it's hard to know everybody's name. Like there's a lot of shit you got to track because you got to obviously like call it all the riders and you got to mark off who got eliminated. And then you got to make sure you know each, like it's that part. There's a lot of moving parts and you got to stay on the schedule, obviously. Mm-hmm. So I obviously did the best I could, had fun with Tyler. Wasn't stoked. I mispronounced a couple people's names wrong. I think if I'm being nice to myself, I mean, of course it's going to happen. A couple of the ladies I knew, and then I unfortunately said their name wrong, which then I corrected, but yeah.
Dude, reading something is different than knowing their name. If you're in the moment, just reading something word by word, and then you're trying to announce it. And then all of a sudden you hit the name, you just sound it out. You're like, it's going to become
like I was going through shit really quickly in the initial intro. And I said Kylie Shea instead of Keely Shea, which, you know, I corrected it after, said Kyra instead of Kira.
Those are ones I think, dude, if I was reading it, I would say the exact same thing. So
I'd read it fast and, you know, unfortunately, but I corrected it and yeah, anyway, did the best I could. I really enjoyed it. It was fun.
That's good. Yeah. How was the crowd? I got to think it was having the different age groups probably brought more people out even because kids were probably wanting to ride and do their age group and racing it too.
I'd say there was less than last year, which I was kind of surprised at because I kind of thought the same thing.
Yeah.
I think the bigger pro class last year and like higher prize money probably brought more people up. Because I think a lot of people wanted to see like Cam and Josh McLean and whoever else that was there.
Yeah.
So I think that brought some hype. So hopefully, I think next time, hopefully, if there's more pros that are interested in coming and it's like doesn't conflict with the weekend, I think more people would come on watch.
I like that though. Like that means that, you know, the pros are in traction still.
Yeah. So I think that was a big factor last year.
Yeah. Really cool. So, and awesome. I'm glad he did it, even though like it was a conflicting weekend because kind of the show goes on, the routine goes on, the like the yearly tradition of doing the whole shot challenge goes on. It's not like, oh, we didn't do it this year. Maybe we'll do it next year. It's once you skip one, it's easier to skip another, I feel like. So now that he's done it again, it's just like, it's a yearly annual thing now.
That's kind of cool too. It's just something different.
Dude, you know? Yeah. And that's having variety, having different kinds of shows, performances, like, yeah, events. It's part of the fun.
Yeah. So I put this out, we'll say as a Sylvan social media check-in, because there's a lot of people, like every World Cup it happens, you see online that people are complaining about not being able to watch the earlier rounds, which I kind of get from the UCI's perspective, but also kind of get from the viewer's perspective. Obviously, if you're a BMX fan, you want to see all the racing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in other sports, like I watch golf on TV all the time, and a lot of time you can't watch the earlier, before like the official like national TV coverage starts, you can't watch the earlier holes because unless you have like ESPN Plus basically, which is subscription.
Yep.
So what if we had something like that where you could subscribe $5 a World Cup or $40 for the year and you could watch all the racing? And most people, so I put this on Coffee Chatter, most people responded saying they would 100% pay for it. What do you think?
I saw a lot of those comments too. I think people would as well. I think the people that watch BMX are willing to pay a few bucks to watch it. We're not getting the average person that flicks on Sunday Night Football on a Sunday and just throws it on the TV. Mm-hmm. We're getting people that want to watch the BMX racing, so they're going to pay a few dollars to watch it. So I love the idea. My concern is when you do that, like, do you make enough money to cover what they're trying to cover? Like, there's obviously a reason why they don't do it. Most likely it's some kind of financial thing. So by doing this, do you think there's enough dollars coming in to cover that financial issue that they're having? Or, yeah, that makes sense.
Why don't you just make the whole thing pay-per-view? Like, why don't you just, you have to, it's $10 to watch the World Cup weekend, or it's like $40 for the year.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
$30
for a good option. Year. I don't see why not. Like, are we really concerned about our numbers that, like, what if we lose 10 to 15% of our numbers, like our live viewers? I think our I know live viewers when I was watching was, 3 to 5,000 at least.
Yeah, I was going to say, when I had it on, I had some looks at it. It was hovering around 3,500 from when I was probably, I didn't get to watch it, the mains like live,
because
I was out. But earlier around, I was like maybe I want to say quarters was like 3,500. So probably 4 to 5 maybe for the semi mains.
So we're getting like 30, let's say we're getting 4,000 for mains probably, 4,000 for mains.
Say 4,000, yeah.
After that, like total views after from people watching it, myself watching it over, probably other people watching it over, we're getting around 30,000 views in 2 days. So we're getting a lot of views afterwards, but do you think like having it, like if we're going to call it pay-per-view, we're probably going to lose some viewers because some people aren't going to want to pay for it. A lot are, but some aren't going to want to pay for it. And then what happens after? Like people just don't get to see it because they got to pay for it. I guess you could leave it like you got to pay for it, like, you can have something on pay-per-view for like months after. That's fine too. You still got to pay for it to rewatch it after.
I guess it's impossible to know, but of those say 4,000 people watching it, how many people do you think would be willing to pay $5 to watch it?
Yeah, most.
Like the whole day. Say if you pay the $5, you get the whole day. You can watch all of it.
Yeah, I'd say we're always going to be a little probably more optimistic, but I want to say 75% of the people are going to say, "Yeah, I'll pay $5. It's $5." Well, it's fine.
I was going to say half for a rough number. So maybe we're in similar ballpark. So say 2,000 times five. I mean, it's 10,000. That's 1 sec. 2,000. Yeah. Times five. It's 10,000. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like quite a bit of extra revenue really. And I mean, that's 20 grand a weekend. Like that could go a long way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are they making off not doing it right now? What is like, are the viewers?
Yeah. I was going to say, like, what's the benefit to not charging people? I mean, obviously, besides just getting people to watch it and not pissing people off, like, are they monetizing a different way by not making it pay-per-view? Probably not.
I have a feeling not, because yeah, where is it? How is it getting monetized? It's not getting monetized on YouTube that much, I imagine. Like, it could be monetized, but even if so, it's 30,000 views. You're not making a whole lot of money off that compared to, I think, pay-per-view. Like, there wouldn't be a big difference or anything. I don't think you're making much money off 30K views. I don't know. Like, I don't know how YouTube ads and stuff work. We don't make money, so we don't fucking know.
We don't make money on YouTube, no. So I don't know. But kind of, I think they should just charge for, you just have to pay to watch it in general.
Yeah.
I don't think it should be free.
I agree. Well, no, I shouldn't say it. I don't mind it. I don't disagree at all. Like, people want to watch all the rounds. Dude, we missed Sylvan crashing in the eighth final. Like, I know it's one, let's say one person, but like, Nick went out, and I think, the eighth finals one day, didn't he? And it's like, dude, those are two of the biggest names in the sport. I want to see what happened. I have no idea. I can't see a video anywhere. I can't find it.
And someone made a good point. Like, someone messaged Copper Chat, I can't remember who it was, and said they paid to watch the latest downhill World Cup. Do you have to pay to watch downhill World Cups? I've never watched one.
I haven't watched one as of late. I used to watch them on like Red Bull TV or something. That's way old now. I think they went to Discovery Plus or something. So I haven't watched.
So you have to probably pay or what?
You probably have to. Yeah. They're probably on some kind of subscription service of something else. Like Discovery is probably like a, is that part of Amazon or something? I don't know. I have no idea. I might be speaking on my ass, but yeah, I'm not sure. People would pay for that.
I think it could help. Obviously the TV people make more money, but it could flow through down to the riders too. So
good luck.
it would in some capacity. Like,
eventually,
it's not like they're handing out money to the pros, but in some capacity they make more money. Like the riders make more money too.
100%.
It's kind of the whole industry works in tandem.
Everyone becomes happier because they're making a little bit more. So eventually it works its way down. So yeah, that's true.
Yeah. The crowd there, granted, I wasn't there from the live feed, looked not full at all. What's with that?
Dude, that hurt.
There was like nobody there.
Nobody. Dude, like,
I don't understand.
I don't know what's going on in Santiago. Like, I don't know what other events are going on, but that it makes sense. It makes complete sense. You take the people that were there, you times that by four, that's probably a good crowd. We have four events on. I don't like, we talked about it last weekend, I think. Like, we went from one race to two, and we talked about how the two races were already a little bit lower. Now they have back-to-back weekends. Like, not everyone's going to go to that, especially probably knowing they have another weekend coming up. It's like, oh, I'm not going to go to this one. They're not going to watch.
Yeah.
That's my thinking. Whether that's right or wrong, I don't know. But to me, that has to play a part.
It's also true, because I remember, like, they made the transition from the 1 to 2 days from 2016 to 2017. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and we did more or less same stops, basically, from 2016-17. Papendal and Argentina were the same. And I noticed that, like, Papendal and Argentina had less than 2016, because I think 2016 was the one day. So of course they're like, Papendal was pretty much full that year, and I think Argentina was full also, and the next year just wasn't, and I think that's why.
Yeah, but yeah, it makes sense. It's like, people aren't going to want to come for 2 days. It's like, think of an average fan. Like, although it's like separate action, you think of somebody going to a concert, like, they're probably only going to go to one of the two concerts.
Like, if there's, well, it's like if AMA Supercross, they come to San Diego every year. Like,
yeah.
I went this year for the one day. If they came for a Saturday, Sunday, I would just go to probably Saturday, and then I wouldn't go both days.
There you go. Like, that's exactly it. It's like, you're a big Supercross fan. A big BMX fan is going to do the same thing. Now, less of a BMX fan is going to do even less of that. Like, they're like, oh, yeah, maybe I'll go to one day. Yeah.
So I feel like that's pretty much inevitable that it's going to happen. But it's kind of disappointing, because that one's always been a great fan probably experience, I would say. Great atmosphere, and it kind of looked dead.
Yeah. Sounds like it was pretty hot there. Maybe that plays a part in it. Like, although we think they're used to the heat down there, maybe that plays a part as well. But yeah, that video of them going, like, going down the first straight, and you can just see empty stands behind it, is just
that
hurts.
That's tough.
It just hurts.
Yeah.
Right?
That's tough. Yeah. So, couple guys going out early, obviously injury watch. Pills didn't race, hurt his ankle at that ejecto cedo cuz crash in the third straight. So hope he's from his post, it looks like it's getting better, so maybe he'll be able to race this weekend, but it looks like he's like generally doing fine, so hope he continues to get better. Bum for our guy Sylvan, obviously going out early in the eighth, had a pretty bad crash. I didn't see it, but yeah, from his post and stuff, so he broke his arm, which requires surgery. I will say, from his post, I don't know if he's going back to France for the surgery. Mm-hmm. I would fucking hope he's going back to France for the surgery and not getting it in Del Estero.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same. Like, I'm sure Yeah. The way it sounded, he was getting the surgery there.
That is the way it sounded.
Yeah.
Which I wonder why you wouldn't just fly home and get it.
Yeah. I mean, if it's bad, it's bad, right?
Yeah. But like, dude, getting it in Del Estero? Fuck. Yeah,
I mean, that's true. But it's not ideal. It's not like it's an easy travel day, like to get home. Like, it's 2 days. What if it's a bad break? What if it's displaced?
I guess if it's like really displaced, well, you probably have no choice. But
yeah. So I was kind of thinking. So. How we're both kind of just like, fuck, dude. That's
fuck, I, dude, I would, I, all the years I race, all the years I race in Del Estero, it's kind of in the back of my mind. Like, fuck, what if you have a serious injury? Like, what if you rupture your spleen or something and need certain, like,
yeah.
God, you just don't want to get it there. Like, no. I've heard horror stories from other riders about the hospital there that it just wasn't good. Like, blood on the walls and yeah. Not good.
And unless, like, I'm not trying to be rude, but it's just like, that's the difference. Like, in places like Europe and, I don't know, Canada, America, like, prioritize like medicine, like stuff like that. Like, it's different. It's like, that's, you got yeah. Some of the best doctors that study for years and years. I'm sure there's doctors that study for years, but they probably don't have the same tools, the same experiences, that,
same standards. None.
Yeah. So yeah. It's always a little worrisome.
Anyway. I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, hope he heals up fast. Let's go through Joris. Let's go through these headlines. Joris cutting the line and getting relegated. So I watched the main and I didn't realize he got relegated.
Neither.
Then I saw 15 posts. I think, yeah, 15 BMX made the post. All right. Shout out 15BMX.com. All our podcasts are embedded there. Go check them out today and all your BMX news. Yeah. And so then I was like, well, what the fuck did he get relegated for? And my initial thought was like, oh, it's going to be something dumb. I rewatched it and I honestly agree with the relegation. What are your views on it?
Yeah, I think it's, everyone's going to be like biased to people who they want to do well. And it's like, I think Joris is a friend, so I want him to do well. But at the same time, mm-hmm. It is what it is. Like, I think we've talked about lines on the show, but a lot in recent as of late with different people. And it's like, they have the lines there for a reason so that, you know, you can make block, you can make moves to get in front of somebody. So a line was there. So Cam moved over enough. So Joris wouldn't have been able to get around unless he went over the line. So Cam mm-hmm. did his job to me 100%. Joris, as a racer, you're going all out. As you land the jump and the only space is to the left, you just instantly go over the line to the left because nothing blocking you. It's just a line on the ground. So you end up going the line, and then eventually he's able to get around Cam because he doesn't have to slow down as much as he would if, let's say, there was a wall there. Like, if there was a hard line that he couldn't cross. So at the end of the day, that technically is an advantage, I guess. So I agree that you need to be, relegated. I struggle with deciding on how much because it's like, damn, like the guy could have led up and still been in the mix and maybe got a podium fourth and fifth, but how do you determine that? You can't
that's,
do the what if. So it's like, if you cross the line and you, let's say you gain an advantage, I mean, you get relegated, then it's a weird one, really weird.
Yeah. And I agree. I think the relegation in general, I think, is valid because Cam, like I said, popped him, cut him off. And theoretically, like if there was tough blocks or something there just on the other side of the white line, Joris would have had to hit his brakes. He wouldn't have been able to keep going. And then Cam would have been ahead of him. So I think that's very valid because the only reason really Joris pulled ahead of him at that point is because he got to use the extra space on the other side of the white line, which he can't do. Yeah. So I think that is valid. The moving to last, it's like initially I thought, well, maybe they could have just, I don't know, swapped positions or given him like a two position penalty. But you're right. It's like, how do you determine his advantage? Because really, a lot of the time, like if you get cut off that bad, you might have to let off the gas a lot, hit your brakes, and then he would have entered the first corner like sixth.
Yeah.
So like a two position penalty wouldn't have been fair because there's a good chance he wouldn't have even got fourth if he would have had to hit his brakes and not go over the white line. So yeah I think it's probably accurate the way they did it.
Yeah. And it's like, I bet you like, I feel like we're going almost easy on it. Like, to me, if there was somebody I didn't like, I'd be like, oh, dude, that was the fucking stupidest thing ever, blah, blah, blah. People could probably say that, but I honestly don't think. I think it's pretty, like, standard in the sense of, like, that's... Every racer's going to kind of do that, too. Like, in the sense of, like, if you're the inside and there's room, you don't stop, really. Like, you know the line's there. You're going to push the boundaries. You're push the limit a little bit.
What have you got to lose, really? You're getting cut off. What are you going to hit your brakes? You might as well just fucking send it. Maybe you get lucky and stay on the white line or maybe get away with it. Yeah,
especially when it's like, dude, he lands the jump, like, literally inbounds. As he, like, hits the bottom of the landing, he kind of goes over. And then he's going over. And as he goes over the roller, he's kind of already coming back into the track, but then the line stops. So then at that point, he's already in the track again. So it's like,
Yeah.
It's so, like, I don't think, like, it's no, it sucks how close that line is.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Like, I don't think he tried to. He's just trying to win the race. And then happened, like, he was just pinning it and happened to go off the track. But yeah, like, his post, I thought, was really good. Like, he handled it like a champ and, I mean, yeah, accepted it and moved on. I think it's, yeah, good for him. Good for yours.
I was going to say, that's kind of a...
It's obviously, like, obviously frustrating. He almost wins the race, gets second, and is probably really stoked. And then he knew he cut the white line, maybe he didn't. But obviously to go back to eighth is pretty upset, is very upsetting. But yeah, he handled it like a champ.
That's right. Yeah, I was going to... Yeah, comment on that too. That was, I find that stuff impressive when, like, when somebody's able to hold back emotions. And yeah, he probably has time to hold back emotions. I'm sure he's pissed, but, like, dude, to just make a nice post like that, it just, I think that's something people can look up to. Young kids can look up to. Like, it sucks. Like, it is, but it's like, it is what it is. I mean,
how do you feel about, how do you think the official feels about doing the DQ and, like, letting him know? I wouldn't, dude. I mean, even though it's, like, kind of warranted, it'd be a tough thing to DQ someone for, like, especially after the person gets on the podium. Like, that probably sucks to have to tell them they got DQ'd.
Oh yeah, yeah, it does. It's
like, yeah, that would be like, I wouldn't want to be that guy. Yeah, that sucks.
That'd be so awkward, because he's probably celebrating a little bit, like, yeah, I got second, like, you're happy, and hey man, we gotta pull you aside, get over here kind of thing. But it's like, they did it right away. Like, obviously they called, they must have called it in right away, because I think they had it up on the screen soon. Like, our, what is it? On the live feed, like, it showed that he was relegated right away. So the person must have been watching. Wonder how many people got relegated there all weekend. Probably not many.
Yeah. No. But yeah, good for you, Joris.
It, it's now made the points chase for the World Cup overall much more exciting again. Because before that... Yeah, well, I guess we can get to that, but yeah, I don't know. Before that, it was starting to be like his thing after Romain went out early in Sarrians, and now, I mean, Romain's back to the red plate guy. So,
yep. Thomas Maturano and Ava Corley. How about these two riders? First year junior, and they're both winning U23 World Cup. Unbelievable.
Dude, that was insane. Hey, they had such impressive rides. Holy.
Shout out to both of them. Two, like, absolute rising stars in the sport that I think are going to have outstanding careers in elite. Man, just two fantastic riders. So congratulations to both of them. Very, very impressive.
Maturano, too. I think he could have doubled down. I thought he was about to double down on day two. Mm-hmm. I think he kind of blew his double down. And so the kid is like, dude, kid's fucking flying.
I feel like the past year he's just skyrocketed.
Yeah, 100% he has. Like, he's racing against some legit dudes. Like, some of those dudes in U23, we talked about, like, Rico, the French guy who won Clausent. Let me find.
Like, Rico's done well in the U.S. and elite.
Yeah, Clausent. Colsonet. There it is.
Well done.
Yeah,
stuck the landing. Fuck yeah.
So, like, those guys are fast. Yeah, that, like, Rico, he's our prime example where he races elite in the U.S. and he's battling with the top guys. So, I mean, if you're competing with him and beating him, like, you're legit. So, as a first-year junior, like, Maturano's doing that now, damn impressive.
Yeah, for sure.
That turn, dude, he blew it. I'm watching again, dude. He blew it. I'm sorry. He had the win. He high-lows him, the French dude. He has him off the track. He's got, like, I don't know, a wheel, half a wheel. He's like, and then he just gives him a whole bike length, and the French guy just flies right by down the last straight. He had it. He fucking had it, dude. Come on.
He'll probably win another one next weekend.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
Excuse me. Last headline before we get into some of the riders. The noise someone made, someone flinch and flip the gate in the U23 main. What was was there a noise? I saw it, obviously, but I didn't know what caused it.
Let me see if I can find the video. Dude, I think, so obviously, I don't know if everyone out here probably watches Snap-on Green stuff every now and again. They made a little,
They made the video.
And made it, like, seem really bad. Yeah, it wasn't so obviously good. That bad. You know, they have the fields on the right-hand side.
It a fucking soccer whistle?
I think you can faintly, just very faintly hear a whistle. And that means if we can faintly hear it on the broadcast, that means it was probably louder in person. So that sucks, because I bet you that's what happened.
That does suck, and I don't think there's anything you can do about it.
No, I saw a few people commenting. I got a couple of messages, too, and saying, like, oh, they're like, how do they not, like, rerun that? How do they not just restart the race? I'm like, it sucks, but, like, that's not a huge interference. It's not massive. It's, I mean, it's bad, but it's not huge.
So I saw Derek Boettcher posted something on his story about that, asking how, I think he said something like, it's crazy that they don't like consider rerunning it or something like that. Because it's like, when you think about it, the person who flipped the gate again,
do you know his name? The Australian guy. I don't know his name off the top of my head because I think there were two Aussie guys in them.
This is a tough look.
No. So you want to know?
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now. It was Oliver Moran.
Okay. So Oliver obviously goes early, flips the gate, kind of fucks a couple guys beside him, clearly, because if someone's left that early, you're probably going to mess up their gates too. And so kind of essentially their World Cup mains are over.
Yeah.
100%. It's like initially my reaction is like, well, you know, it's just BMX, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Too bad. But it's like, man, like 100 meter sprint at the Olympics or like the Diamond League. Imagine someone false starts, fucks a couple guys and they're just like, well, you know, run it anyway. Like,
no, you're
right. It wouldn't happen.
See, the more I think about it, that this is enough of a thing to restart. Yeah.
100%. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So clearly he left before the gate even dropped, obviously, and flipped the gate. In that instance, like I could justify a rerun for sure. It's a little bit of a slippery slope though, because how do you then classify what's too early? Like clearly that was too fucking early, but people hit the gate every lap.
Right.
And I guess what are you going to do? Just let go of people hitting the gate that react early, and it has to be, what are you going to make the rule? Like if someone snaps before the beeps or lights go and they flip the gate, that's when you rerun it. It's a bit, I don't know, ambiguous. It's a bit of a slippery slope, I feel like.
Yeah, it's really tough. Really, I'm trying to think of where I would put like my hard line of like, this is where we stop it. You need the UCI official up there basically kind of paying attention enough to be like, okay, a noise happened, but it's like, how do you know if the noise is loud enough? What if the noise was so quiet that the guys in the gate noticed, but they didn't flinch? They're just like, fuck, and then they got a bad gate. Do you restart it then? It's like, you really don't know.
I think you can't do anything about the noise. I think you would have to, I guess by that logic, you just rerun it if someone flips it or something. I don't know, but I guess you can't really do that.
Yeah, it is. What happens in like 100 meter if somebody in the crowd like just yelled and somebody flinched?
Nothing. I mean, if you flinch, I think it's a false start. You're out.
Yeah, we're not going to do that.
No.
So weird, because yeah, if we had something, you quickly just red flag it. The guy at the first turn, like UCI official would have to be on.
Which you could,
quickly red flag, just stop it right away. Yeah.
Yeah, like there could be two officials on either side of the jump into the first corner with red flags, and they could easily just red flag it if they felt like, if that was a rule. But I mean, I don't know how you would implement something like that. But it does seem like unfair, obviously.
Yeah. And it's not like I mean, Rico even flinched in the final. He was lane one, ended up getting second. But it's like some people just, some people get react to the noise. Some people are able to hold it in better. It's like, is that a skill? I don't know.
I think we just got to go with what we got, unfortunately, and just run it.
Yeah. Yeah, weird situation, though, that's for sure.
Yeah, I know. Did you see Rago Richard fucking, speaking of flipping the gate, did you see him flip the kink and just Superman the hill?
Terrible. I was on lunch break watching this, so I barely got to see it. Which, was it the first day? I want to find it again because I didn't really see it.
Yeah, and I want to say it was like a quarter or something.
It was definitely the quarter. I think it was the first day. We're going to go with that. I'm going to try to find it.
Dude, that was so gnarly. It looked like he bonked the kink or something and then just straight flipped the bars down the hill. That's crazy. That's a wild crash.
The old hill flips don't happen often. What they do, they're pretty wild. Like, you're normally okay because you end up just sliding down the hill. It's actually not that bad, but it's quite scary when it happens because, I mean, one, for people watching, the bike goes everywhere. You're going crazy. And then, like, as a rider, like,
brutal.
How many times have you flipped and slid down the hill? Oh, here's the race. This is going to be it.
Once at Abbotsford, I, like, broke my sprocket off the chain ring or off the crank and then flipped down the hill.
He fully belly slid to the bottom, too.
Dude, he ate shit down the hill. He jumped like a slip and slide down the hill.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, it looks like his front tire just bonked, shot to the right a little bit, and he just is like, just while he was diving over the kink, just over, dude, full belly slide through the tranny. I'm talking.
Dude, it's one of the craziest crashes I've ever seen.
Oh, that's unbelievable. I think I've done it twice, and I think one time was Manchester, unclipped, blew over the kink, but that hill was, I didn't really even get any road rash because the hill was like, it's a smooth hill. The other time was Lima, Peru, for Pan Ams, where I don't know what happened, flipped, and I ripped. I was wearing a hoodie, thankfully. I ripped a hole right to the hoodie, but I ended up being okay.
Yeah, I don't understand how that happens.
It's so weird. I remember trying to analyze my video and trying to figure what happened. People were like, oh, you did this or something. You spun out or this like slid out. I was like, dude, I don't think so. I think I just, I don't know. Like, I couldn't even tell you.
Yeah, so Sniper got you.
Sniper. Sniper got you. It is what it is.
All right, let's get into the elite man, Romain Mayu. This is BMX world. We're just living. He is just eating people's lunch down the first straight right now. Dude. Not even fair.
Unbelievable. Like, give it up for that guy. Talk about somebody who's just putting on a clinic. He's doing the deed.
Yeah, he's just getting out there and fucking handling business. Talk about an average finish this year. Crazy.
Oh, I can't even. Like, that's nuts. Is it like... the fact he's doing it from all the lanes, too, to me is quite impressive. Some people might not really pay attention to that. I think it's really impressive. He's doing it from everywhere.
So his finishes this year between World Cups and World Champs when he's made the main are like what? First, second, first, first, first?
Yes.
Huh. Yeah. His average score, his average finish would be like a 1.6 or something.
Dude, something absolutely
1.5, who knows?
Yeah. Unbelievable. Oh,
so stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really know what to say. I mean, obviously, he's just by far the best guy in the world right now. Yeah.
It's got to be, I would really love to know the dynamic internally between him and Joris right now, because two guys that are good friends have spent a lot of time on trips together, probably grown up, trained together, and now are just the two best guys in the world, just going shot for shot in World Cup finals and World Championship finals.
It's got to be a fun way to race BMX, you know?
Gotta be like,
gotta
dude,
be,
can you?
It's gotta be a good time.
Like, cool. Hey, man. Like, let's just go battle for that win today. Yeah, can you imagine? We're just let's go battle for that win. Like, they're going back. The most upset they're getting is, damn, I got second.
Yeah, it just looks automatic for him.
Yeah,
especially like he won one Sunday from four too, with like Cam and Joris on the inside.
Yeah, that's what I'm. Yeah, that's what to me is impressive. Like, he's done it from the outside. We knew he had the pull from the outsides, and now he's got the snap to go along with it. So it's like, cool, he's got the snap and the pull. Hard to do much about that, really.
Yeah. And I mean, some earlier rounds, like quarters, dude, he's hole shotting by like two bikes. Like,
I mean, yeah, dude, even the final, like that, it's rude. Like,
it's wild.
Most of the time to the turn, you're getting, by the time you get to the turn, what, you got two to three people that are battling for that top spot into the turn. Both times he's been over a bike ahead by himself.
It's got to be fun. It's got to be a good way to ride BMX.
He's so cool.
God. Yeah, it's got to be pretty cool for sure. I don't know what else to say about him.
I don't think there is. You just enjoy. Like, we're in a time that I'm just going to sit and enjoy these races and him doing what he's doing.
Joris was great too. Honestly, like, unfortunately he got DQ'd on Sunday, but going second and then second/DQ on the second day, both times really close to beating Romain. He closed really quickly on the second half of the track, especially Saturday. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the second turn Torres came underneath him and he kind of slid back to third for a bit and then almost ended up winning the thing. Really impressive.
Yeah, his track speed was you're right. It was awesome to watch. Really cool, impressive. Like, I thought as soon as Torres went under him that first day, I thought, okay, well, Torres is going to make a run at Joris, a run at Romain. Joris was kind of screwed back there. The fact he got him back in the turn and then still, yeah, like you say, almost got back to a first at the line, like the guy was flying.
Yeah. So. And obviously, he first straights were great too. I think it was just Romain's weekend, but yeah, Joris was, fantastic. Yeah. This is like some of the best racing he's ever done in his career.
Nuts. And he's oldest guy, one of the older guys in the class, and he's gotten better and better.
He looks so fucking good, Joris.
Yeah, dude, yeah, he does. It's enjoyable to watch, like effortless speed too.
Yeah.
Speaking of Torres, dude, I was just watching. Like, we know he made that turn in the move in the second turn, and he turns weird in the third turn. Dude, even his first turn in that main, he came from behind and went under Diego.
Terrible start.
Yeah, like classic. Terrible just like start. Gets completely blown off the back. Is it basically in like last or seventh last or in seventh like in the landing of the first jump? And then goes in the turn and then just passes three people. Like, cool. I'm just going to go from like, right into third completely here. Yeah. And then, dude, he's so entertaining to watch.
Yeah. This track, especially. Like, he's just so fun to watch on this track. Watch him for a lap and what he does. He just wreaks havoc.
That's insane. And he ends up having like some of the, he had the fastest lap time the first day. And he's not hole shotting. Like, most of the time, he's not hole shotting. So it's like the fact he has that lap time when he's doing stuff from behind.
I don't understand. His track speed is so much better at that track specifically, than any other track races. I don't understand.
You know what the ridiculous part is? You put that guy in a time trial on that track, he doesn't win. He's not top 10.
Dude,
not even top 10.
It's so weird, isn't it? Like, his time trials weren't fast.
He was horrific in the time trial. Horrific. Absolutely terrible.
Some World Cups, yeah, he was horrific in but time trial. Like, not even like a second off the pace.
And then he goes and races and he's dominating around the track. That's his bread and butter. It's like, what happens? What changes? I don't know.
He just turns into a fucking man possessed.
It's absolutely insane, dude.
He was so impressed. He did exactly what we thought he was going to do in Santiago del Estero.
Yeah. He straight up did. Straight up. Him and Molina. I'm watching the first day too. I know Molina.
Gonzalo, though, too. Like, I think it was one of the semis on one of the days. He did a first turn move, kind of like Torres did in the main two, to get himself in the top four. I think it was the second day.
Second day? Okay. I'm going to give it a watch while we do that. Yeah, it was impressive. I got a comment on that. Did you see his, you know, when they do the little intros in the gate in the finals? Did you see his intro?
Baby. Is it his baby?
Yeah,
is
he did the baby thing. I thought that was adorable. I was like, Daddy, right, you know, that's throwing some flair out there.
4-5 for the weekend, though. Phenomenal.
Yeah, really good.
Phenomenal. You know what's funny about Gonzalo? He's such a beauty. I love that guy. So we're in Colombia at the Las Luces race in December, like 2017. We're like basically staying together at the hotel. His English was like so-so then. But he like all he eats is meat. Swear to God.
For real?
He doesn't like fruit, doesn't like vegetables. It just became a thing. He would just eat fucking steak every meal. And I was like, you don't like chicken or like, I don't know, anything else? He's like, nah, just like meat. No joke. Just ate steak every meal.
Yeah, I'll just take steak. Thanks. Cool. It's like, what?
Classic Argentinian carnivore, dude.
That's so weird. But I mean, that's what when you're in Santiago del Estero, like, that's all you're eating there, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. I know he's not from. Do you know what town Argentina is actually from?
Yes.
What's it called?
I do know it, but I can't think of it off the top of my
head. Okay. I'm trying to find that movie, while we talk about this.
Cam Wood was awesome. I think he got fifth in the semi the first day, was battling for fourth, ended up not making it. But great podium the second day. Came out of lane two, cut Joris off, ended up second on the podium, and rode fantastic. Looked really fast, like good first straights, good track speed. Yeah.
Cool to see him back in form. Obviously, he did really well at the Eusebio National the other weekend. But it's like one of those ones that we talk about as like, okay, great to see him back in form, but that's really kind of a warm up for the World Cup for him. Like, that's his first race back. Like, this is the real test. He seems fully back. Like, I mean, maybe it takes the first day, kind of had to get into it a little bit, but I would consider that fully back.
It doesn't look rusty. I think he's got a good shot at winning next weekend.
Dude, he looks great out there. I mean, his speed's fine. If he just gets back in a rhythm, I mean, yeah, easy peasy. Like, I could see him winning a race. I mean, yes, it's going to be hard to compete with George, but still.
Might go 1-1 in Tulsa next year.
Next year?
Yeah, like the World Cup in Tulsa next year.
Oh, the World Cup. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay, World Cup of Tulsa. Yeah, that's what I meant.
Can you imagine? That would be pretty nuts.
He's going to win one. He might go one. He's got a good shot at going 1-1.
That would be pretty cool. We talk about getting that home track advantage, or at least home country advantage. That'll be it for him. That'll be the spot.
But I think this result was huge for him. I'm sure he probably went in a little unsure where he was going to stack up against those top guys. And just to get that reassurance that he knows he has the speed and he's right there already, still probably not quite 100% in every capacity. Boys better watch out next weekend and moving forward.
Wood's back. He's back.
Yes, he certainly is. Speaking of back, Simon too, man, rode great. Really consistent both days. Made both mains and a podium, right? Sounds right?
Yes.
Yeah, both mains and a podium the second day. Yeah.
Yes. Second day. Was it because of the DQ? Yes. But I mean, that's part of it.
Kind of doesn't matter still.
Doesn't even matter one bit. So.
No. Third, second day. He looks really good. Like, he looks comfortable, confident, consistent. We're looking at a sustainability model. His current form looks very sustainable. Like, he's not riding out of his shoes or anything. He looks very within his means, and it looks like he's at that level with those guys that he'll just be there every weekend or every race day.
Yeah. And you always like to see a guy going through difficulties of some kind and then getting himself back to what the form is that he's been at. And that seems like he's there to me. So,
you know, it's funny, like, some guys do well and you could tell that they're doing well because their overall level is that high and it looks very like calm and repeatable. And then there's other people that looks kind of just duct taped together. And it looks like they're just trying to catch lightning in a bottle for one race day to like piece it together.
Please point out one of these people for me. I know exactly what I'm just saying.
In general,
hit me with their ad, baby. What they're at.
No, it his looks like his level of performance is very sustainable right now.
Yeah, I agree. It does. It's like, it's not like it's a one-off. Like he's been once again from his like
that's my
won
point.
The worlds. Yeah. He kind of went downhill for a bit, whatever reason that we don't really know. But it's been chipping away to the point where it's like this is just the normal again. Because like he's been doing this, getting to this point over time where it's just like it's not one and done. It's like it's been progressing. It's like boom, it just looks normal again.
Yeah, 100%. Tough fucking weekend for Jeremy Rencorell. Jesus Christ, this guy had nothing happening his way this weekend. His weekend culminated by him taking out like every single tough block in the first quarter on Sunday. Tough weekend for our guy Jeremy.
Hate to see it. The tough block thing is funny. Like just watching it is comical. Just, but it's,
we're talking like a bowling ball into the bowling pin. The tough blocks.
When you just see it happen,
three tough blocks into the first corner.
Boom! Just gone. Tough blocks gone.
Yeah, that was a tough way to culminate the weekend.
How do you feel about tough blocks in the corner like that?
They're fine. Yeah, I don't have a problem with them.
Okay, I'm not a big fan. That's why I ask. I guess at the end of the day, like if you don't have the tough blocks, you get the drawer situation where somebody does well, they have to DQ them, and then there's a lot of debate. Where this way, you fucking get inside the tough blocks, or you get run into them and you hit them, and this is what happens. So I guess, yeah, I guess I'm fine with it.
I got some breaking news on BMX related. We're gonna talk about it for like 1 minute here. Savannah's dad just texted us and said tonight's Powerball lottery is $1.6 billion if you purchase before 7 p.m. $1.6
billion. Billion with a B.
Can you imagine? What if I won $1.6 billion?
What would you do for me right now? I don't even say for
I don't
you,
even I know what me. I would do.
No. What would you do right now for you and Savannah? What would you guys do tonight if you all of a sudden won that? 100% honest to God, what would you do? Other than just, you know, yell and scream.
If I won $1.6 billion.
You go out for dinner.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're going classy restaurant.
We don't really go out for like classy. We probably go out somewhere we like. But I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. You got the money now. You go classy. You have fun with it. Make it special.
$1.6 billion. Just imagine seeing that hit your account.
What do you?
Oh my goodness.
Dude, that's insane.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
What am I doing? If I got 1.6 right now, it's what I'm doing right now. I'm on a podcast with you.
You know what? Honestly, I don't think in general my life would change a ton. I would obviously like have nice houses and play like amazing golf courses and stuff. But I'd still like wear the same clothes and I don't care about getting like $100,000 watch or something.
Yeah. I hear that. Yeah.
I don't give a shit. Like I would live in a nice house and what I would do is take the boys on golf trips. Like I'd fire up a private jet and me, you and the boys would go play in Pinehurst, North Carolina for the weekend. Just the hell of it. And I would just pay for it all. Like that's what I would want to do with money.
That would be awesome, dude. We need to get you this Powerball.
I got another hour. I think I got to go after the show. We're done in like half hour, whatever. I got to go after the show and buy a ticket.
I'll send you some money. I'll send you like 10% of what it costs. You give me 10% if you win.
So say that again. You want me to buy you a ticket?
Buy me a ticket. I'll just give you 10% of what it costs to buy your ticket. So you give me 10% of what you win.
I have no idea.
I'm just making up random numbers right now, dude. I have no clue.
So you get like 180 million. Sure. I'm not, that's like not even a, that's a blip on my radar. If I have 1.6 billion,
you best believe if I'm winning over $1 billion, I'm not sleeping in some basement suite that I have mouse traps set up in. I can tell you that much.
You know what you could do just for the hell of it? Just buy the UCI World Cup circuit. And I would just call it the Torrey Nyhog World Cup series and then just do whatever the fuck I wanted.
Guys, this is my series now. You're all going to get paid a decent amount. We're not going to, you know, we're going to give you a good, you know, good rate here. Have at her.
Who cares? You can just do it for fun.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. It'd be sick.
Yeah, you can, whatever. Crazy. All right, anyway, back to the pros. Alfredo, another kind of, well, I would say he rode well, but just obviously didn't get the results he wanted out in semis both days, but he was right there.
I love seeing him competing in with the front guys. I don't know why, just nice guy you like to see do well. I mean, there's so many, if you get to know people on the circuit, there's a lot of people with, you know, that are nice, good personalities, you know, and he's one of them. So just cool to see him kind of trending in the right direction for Olympics next year. It feels like to me that's what he's doing. He's very big. It feels like on, you know, knowing the cycle. He knows this at this point. Mm-hmm. He's a veteran. He knows the cycle. He seems like he's getting to that point.
Quillen Isidore, I think I talked about after Sarion's how I'm wondering when he's going to kind of step up and get in there, but he stepped up and got in there, got in the main. He rode great. Good job, Quillen. Good work, dude.
We just talked about last show or the show before, but okay.
He must have listened. Fucking fired him up, baby.
Come on. Let's go, Q. Come on. Dude, it's like the guy like him.
Great job.
Yeah, he's been like knocking on the door for like a while with injuries. Like, and obviously he's been in a World Cup final before. He's been in that before, but it feels like he's been on the doorstep for the past year. Last, I don't know how long it's been, chipping away, almost being in these finals. He was riding great at the beginning of the year. Takes a crash, like, and now it's like boom, he's back in there. And I mean, it's cool to see because you know how hard like the guy works. So.
Yeah, credits due where it's due. Good job, Colin. Way to step up, man. Other than that, for Team GB, not a whole lot to ride home about. I mean, Ross going out quarter semi, not bad, but not, you know, not great. Yeah. Tough week for Kai, not great. Yeah, not a whole lot happening there this past weekend.
I'd love to chat with Kai, see where his head's at, how he's feeling. Because, I mean, yeah, once again, beginning of this year, it seemed like he was going to have a stellar year. Had an injury, and it seems like, I don't know if just a lot of shit has been coming up since he's been injured. Like he hasn't had a lot of time to really, I don't know, sit down and get back into things. Maybe, I don't know. Love to ask him, but that'll be for another time, I guess.
Shit weekend for Neek overall. Quarter at semi, not great.
Yeah, not awesome.
No, just kind of didn't have it.
No, and it happens. I wouldn't be surprised if he came back next weekend and was in both finals. Like that's just the level he is, and that's how he rides sometimes. Where if he's on, he's on. And sometimes when he's off, he's off. It seemed like he was off. I bet you next weekend he comes back and he's back in there, but definitely not this weekend.
I kind of wonder if he's lacking some motivation or what, because I don't know. It doesn't seem like this is kind of me speculating. It doesn't seem like he's like, I don't know, has that same fire, like I'm going to kill everyone from the outside attitude that he's had in the past. I wonder if he's going through a bit of a lull mentally.
I love it. Let's speculate some more. I don't know, but I like thinking about possibilities.
You never know what's happening. Maybe he is, and maybe he's just not happening, but I kind of think maybe he's just struggling to really, I don't know, get after it like the other guys are right now. Who knows?
Who knows? Maybe he found a girl in Santiago when he was up late before the races both nights and nobody actually knew about it. Like, we don't know.
Yeah, I kind of feel like that might be the case.
Kind of feels, there's a lot of guys at the top of the sport again right now. Like, it feels like we have Joris Romain show. But it feels like there's a good grouping behind them again right now. That's how I feel.
Yeah. Average level is very high. Yeah. Like it's tough to be breakaway, like elevate yourself above the others there.
Yeah, 100%. Like I'm thinking about other previous years and there are a couple. I mean, let's look back for me. When I'm looking at 2021, it felt like there was a group of like 8 to 12 guys that were the main event guys, dominating guys, and like that was Kai and Neek and like Giraffe, Sylvan's in there. And now it just feels like there's more guys, or maybe it's different, but I would say more people in that group. And so it makes it tougher for some guys to shine. So, yeah.
Getting back a bit to Cam. I mean, I think the US badly needed some results at the World Cups for country points and whatnot. But shout out to Cam Larson. I think won his quarter the first day.
Yeah.
He looked like way better than previous World Cups.
I thought he would look great too. I saw the quarter.
Yeah, he was fast.
Caught me off guard really how much he like popped and went off and was.
I want to say he actually hole shot. Maybe it was Cam from the outside.
I'm trying to find it now just to see. I think he ended up getting second. I think he got passed eventually because I think he got Torres'd.
But he hole shot it.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right here. Yeah. Yeah, it was Cam from the outside.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was on the outside. He hole shot from the outside.
He was fucking pulling this weekend.
Yeah. Awesome to see. I mean, that's kind of like what we've been expecting from someone that's going to be doing that, hole shotting a quarter and running up front.
A bit more USA BMX style this track too. I think that does help. Like smaller kind of jumps aren't as super crossy and big. I think that helps him.
Fair enough. Yeah. I love to see it.
So. Yeah. So he hasn't made a World Cup main yet, has he? In general?
Good question. I actually don't think so. If I was, yeah, if I had to guess, I would put money on no. I don't think so yet. So I wouldn't be surprised if one happens next weekend with the way he was riding this weekend.
Do you think it happens?
I do. I honestly do. Yeah, I think a World Cup final.
I think he puts one in the main. Yeah, I agree. I think he puts one in the main next weekend. Let's do it, Cam.
People like to come through at these, you know, big races in different countries. You know, this is a place.
Yeah, this is the one.
It's in America, South America.
Any other guys we need to talk about, you think?
I think for now that's fine. We obviously miss somebody, and they're probably like, motherfucker, you miss me. But it is what it is. So we're going to move on.
Shout out to Colombians. What's his name? Carmona. Fuck, he's consistent.
Back in another final, hey?
Yeah, really good. Like, I'm impressed with that guy.
Tough look for both the Colombians to eat shit for Carlos and Carmona to eat shit together in the final. But I mean, like, they're there.
Yeah, but Carlos and Carmona, man, rode really well. Same with Diego. Diego was fast, too. They got three legit top, like, 10 guys.
Yeah. They're it, dude. They're battling mm-hmm. for the two spots, or the three, yeah, the three spots at the Olympics. Like, they got those three. Yeah. Those three are them.
I'm feeling good about the Colombian team for the next, like, at least the next year.
Yeah. Kind of wild. They got the French team that's got about eight guys that are fast enough to, you know, earn them their three spots. And then you, Colombia, it seems like you got three guys that just need to be on point to earn them their three spots.
The top two French guys are like Romain and Joris have really separated now from Jeremy, Arthur, and Sylvain.
Kind of, yeah, they have. It's kind of almost to me weird that they have, because you looked a race or two ago, like Worlds and Sarion's, like I would have thought it felt closer, but with Sylvain crashing out, Jeremy going on quarters, it's like the other next guy, Eddie, was in the final, but it's like, other than that, like they're not as consistent. They haven't been doing what those two have been doing.
Crazy. Eddie made the final. He's kind of like he's kind of like the eighth guy on the team, I feel like.
Who?
Eddie.
Yeah. Kind of. I'm trying to think of the numbers right now.
No, seventh. Probably, because you go Joris, Romain, then obviously Jeremy, Arthur, and Sylvain, and then you
Gary go, on six.
Yeah,
Leo, Eddie
probably. Yeah,
he'd a World that's insane.
Yeah, and he'd be a top guy in a lot of other countries.
Yeah,
or at least a top two guy probably.
Oh, maybe I was wrong. It wasn't the first day. Was he in the final the first day? I don't think it was the first day.
No, he crashed the first day.
Yes. I think. In the final the second day.
No, he didn't make the final at all. Oh. Come to think of it,
where was my head at?
I don't know, but no, he. I don't think he made the main at all. He
wasn't in the right place.
He was, that much. Regardless, he was fast, but
yeah. All right.
All right, let's get into the women's side of things. I think I'm going to start off by this saying Axel Etienne is having the most Axel Etienne year of all time. Like just kind of not around, and then just shows up at a World Cup in Argentina and gets third, and is in second the whole lap and gets third on the podium. And you're like, of course she did. She looked great.
That's like, how does she do that? I don't get it, because you look at all these other people that come back from injuries all the time. It takes them a couple races. We're looking at Cam and we're saying like, okay, look, he raced the USA race. He took a race to get it back into the final. And then he's on the podium. It's like, that's normal. She like goes from we don't see her for months on end. And then it's like, she's in the final of the World Cup, but we're also like, that's just how it goes with her. She just does this all the time.
She's really fast, like extremely powerful, good on the bike, has a really good overall package. I think she, like we've talked about, she has a lot of injuries, but whenever she shows up, she's like top three fastest.
Crazy how that works for her. I mean,
dude, it's like, I hope she's healthy. I hope she like sustains this model for another, like, I mean, for the rest of her career, but at least for another year, especially leading to the Olympics, and just go there and see what you can do. Because with it being in France and with her being that good, you never know what she could put together there. Seriously.
It's true. Yeah, it's really true. If she, I don't know, maybe she just doesn't race until then. Like if she's got a spot, if France says like, hey, we'll give you the spot if you just don't race, and then she just comes back and
fight. You just get her to do sprints and gates maybe. And then you say, all right, here we go. Now we're racing.
Now it's go time. Dude, it's
and we see what happens.
She does this often. Like I can't remember if it's Worlds she's done it before, but she's done it multiple World Cups, I think, or Worlds. It's like,
or she's just like shown up to like Oldmar and like won or battled with Elise for first.
Yeah.
And you're like, of course, and you don't see her for 6 months. I don't. Yeah, it's pretty peculiar, I will say.
Yeah, she's a beast. If anybody's seen her like
fucking beast
lift before, it's like she probably lifts more than you. There's a good chance she lifts heavier than about 75% of the audience listening right now, even if you're a guy.
She's extremely powerful. Yeah.
definitely not track speed, definitely isn't her like specialty, flow around the track. She got passed by Beth, but I mean, that's also, we're talking about a world champion. She's very much fast. She got passed by
Olympics,
top three.
Olympic and she got fat passed by the Olympic and world champs.
Yeah. So like, what am I saying when I say that? I guess fucking, I might as well just kick my ass. Like it's true.
But no, I mean, to be fair, if you compare against the women she's racing, yeah, it's not quite as good, but I would still say her skill and track speed is like generally really good.
Yeah. I take that. No, like I'm kind of biting my tongue right now. Like I'm watching, she is doing, she's ripping. So what a beast. What a beast.
But Beth and Sai, I think, have elevated themselves to be 1A, 1B right now in the women's class.
Kind of cool seeing two people at the top of their game again. We're seeing in the men's class, and we're very much seeing the women's, where it's like two ladies that seem very confident in what they're doing and their abilities, and they're able to go shot for shot a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I love seeing it. I love watching it because, I mean, both have like, I think Beth has got that extra gear if she can unleash it sometimes. But, dude, I think Saya has that too now. I don't know. It's down the hill. Maybe the bottom of the hill. She has that juice off the start.
Yeah. It's kind of like either of them can win on any day, really.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good for the women's class. It makes it really entertaining. I mean, at times it's been like we look back to the Laura days or the Elise shows, and it's like sometimes USA, it's the Elise show. Sometimes back in the day, it's been the Laura show. Dude, now it's like, and it did. It turned to the Bethany show for a bit, but now it's like, dude, having these two battle it out consistently is awesome.
Speaking of Laura and Elise, neither of them really have quite the last bit, I think, to battle with Bethany and Sia right now.
Think, okay. Yeah, it's definitely tough for them. If anything, I think Elise does if she gets out, but man, they got something special right now.
Laura's first straights haven't been that close to Beth and Sia. Like, it's weird watching racing. I almost haven't noticed Laura at times compared to before.
Yeah, it's weird. Like she's able to win her quarter and then she either has a good lap time or doesn't, where it's like she's in the top, or I'd say 1 to 3 range in that semi. Usually isn't the one leading or Holstein in the semi these days though.
No, like she's obviously still there in the final, like still like right there in the mix, but kind of not the same like she was before. She had a bad start. I want to say Saturday in the main, and kind of got cut off right away.
She got cut off.
I mean, she's right there. Like, yeah, she's right there, but kind of doesn't have the pace of Beth and Sia. Like, no one in the elite women class really does now. I feel like it's Beth and Sia. Zoe is kind of like, I mean, I guess you might be able to say Axel too, but really, like, Zoe is kind of, I think, third, probably best in that class right now, like consistently.
Yeah.
And I think after that, I think you got like Elise, Laura, Mariana, because Mariana rode really well and was consistent too. Like, I think Elise, Laura, Mariana, and probably Meryl are really similar.
I would put them in that same boat. Yeah, 100%. You know it is. You know it is, T. She got the bag. She got the bag from Commensal, and this is what happened. You see the quarterbacks. You see him get the bag. You see Joe Burrow this year. Got the bag.
Got the bag.
Got the bag. And you, what do? They lose the first game of the season. Was the first two, or at least, yeah. You know, I don't know what to tell you. It is what it is. No, I mean, it happens. It is what it is. But
Mariana was really consistent too. Like I said, didn't quite have the pace to battle with like a Barry up front, but especially like, I think she just had like a minor, I don't know, kind of injury setback, and looked good already.
She was, her track speed was on it. I mean, one of the semis had to pass Molly to get in there. She looked very composed when she was doing it to me, like really smooth and just kind of doing what Mariana does, where it's like she finds a way. She sticks to her Colombian roots, dude. Doesn't matter if she hole shots or if she has to do it around the track. She does that.
I mean, her and Elise are 32 also.
Insane. They've been at the top of the sport for how long? How many years
now? Oh my God. Forever. Yeah.
10 plus years they've been winning these World Cups.
So 32 years old and they're still where they're at. I mean, it's impressive in itself.
When do you think was the first time Elise won a World Cup? 2012?
I think it was Papendal 2012, yeah.
2012, okay.
So 11 years ago.
Yeah. Crazy. Mariana won World Champs in 2011, was it? Copenhagen?
Yeah, so 12 years ago she won Worlds, yeah. And they're still like whatever, top eight consistently, yeah.
That's crazy.
Top five or six, whatever, yeah.
Yeah, really cool to see.
Tough weekend for Molly. Obviously, didn't get the results she wanted. She was close to making the main the first day. Gabby passed her, I think, Gabby made a really good move in the last corner to pass her. But yeah, I'm sure a disappointing weekend for Canada's finest.
She got Colombian then. She got Colombian because,
Gabby made a really good move in the last corner. Like, swung wide, high load, and then cut her off. It was a nice move. And
yeah, I did see that too. That was actually very impressive.
Gabby's been stepping it up too. Like, she's gotten a lot better the last year or two.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good move. I do remember that. That's what Mascherano should have been doing. That's the move right there, dude. Maybe just DM him and tell him. I'm just going to send him the clip. I'm not going to say a word to him. I'm not even going to say why I'm sending. I'm just going to send him the clip. He's like, what the fuck is this?
Just send him that clip with like the notepad emoji.
You got your notebook out, buddy? Start taking notes. You had it, dude. It was in the bag.
Felicia, she must have been listening to the last show too. James must have got fired up. She's fucking back. Third on Saturday, answer S squared, get yours today on the box. Looked like the Felicia of old. You love to see it.
Dude, she was riding with that confidence, that swagger. It's like everything about it looked like that was normal. That's what we've been missing for a hot minute.
Felicia, like 100%. She belongs up there every single time.
Yes, 100%. Sick. That's what we like to see, as you know, answer BMX S squared, you know, rider. That's what we need.
You know what? She's the perfect blend of power and skill. Like, she never gets like out of control. She can handle her speed and her power. But put it together, that's where she should be every time, is top three.
I agree. Yeah. Yeah, I really do agree. I'm just trying to watch one of the races now. As she pops some starts off, she looked great. Good to see. We've been one of those people.
Agustina Cavalli didn't have quite the breakthrough I was anticipating she would have, but still was there in the semi and still was, I think, higher level than she had been.
You know, you can't be right. You know,
can't be right
on every single one. Only 99% of them this weekend.
I bet she was still better. I think she was still better though than she had been in Europe too.
Yeah, I think she made the semi the first day. So I wonder how many of the semis she's made recently. So was it a step up? Probably, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else from the elite women's class? Wait, did Delaney make the main? I can't remember. I don't think she did.
Not yet.
Semi.
Yeah.
It's coming, Delaney.
It's coming. Stock is being held.
Desert Destroyer. We want to see it.
Yeah. I think that's it for the women, though. Good racing all around from both classes.
I think it was a quarter the first day. Her and Lexi were battling for fourth, and I was like, it's probably a battle of the roommates just for fourth and getting the semi, which is never fun. Like, you don't want to come down between you and your roommate to get in the next round. Of course you want to beat them, but it's like you also like want them to do well. So that kind of sucks. But
yeah. Awkward. It's gotta be awkward at times for when that happens.
It's like you kind of just get back and laugh at it because it's like, well,
yeah. Racing's racing. Everybody knows what's on the track, it's left on the track, but it's tough to leave it on the track sometimes.
Yeah, so that sucked. That kind of sucks for them, but yeah, I kind of had somewhat of a chuckle watching a battle.
Do we have any major or any groundbreaking predictions of changes that will happen next weekend? Will we see anything different in any of the classes?
No.
Any predictions on who wins? I think Torres wins.
Do you think Romain sweeps all four?
You dirty dog. Don't put that thought in my head.
I kind of think he'll win one, and I think it's going to be the other one's going to be between, like, I think Torres might win one, dude. He was fucking close. Like, I think he could seriously do it.
I think he could too. I think Joris has got some fire under him. Joris is great when it, like, I remember Bogota last year came in and won both the days that, or was it both days on the second weekend? I think Joris wins one this next weekend. And I think the title, the World Cup overall title, I think gets really, really close between them. Like,
yeah. I think Romain and Joris split the next weekend.
Split the wins still. Yeah. They split the wins.
Yeah. Women, I think Beth and Sia will probably split again.
Okay. Who wins the overall? We're going to leave that up to chance. I don't know.
Honestly, between the women, I haven't looked at the points for the women.
Yeah, it'd be tough to look. That. Right now, Bethany and Sai are really close, and then Laura and Elise are really close. So it's like there's a battle for first and a battle for third.
Mm-hmm. It's a big difference between getting third and fourth in the overall.
Good money difference, right?
I think so, yeah. Plus, I mean, you get to stand on the overall podium. You get like a trophy for it. Like, it's a big deal to stand on the overall podium for it rather than get fourth.
That'll be one to watch for people then. Watch between Elise and Laura. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Do you have any questions from the grandstands?
Yes, we got some questions from
the grandstands. I know the grandstands out in Santiago were quite empty this weekend, but our grandstands are definitely not empty.
Our grandstands are always full, baby. Oh.
I totally forgot we had the chat here. Mitchie Schaefer.
Right, Megan,
yeah.
For Megan Dungeon, biggest upset of the weekend. Oh, good one. Probably like Sylvain and Nick getting eighthed.
Yeah.
Say probably.
Yeah, I'd say Sylvain crashing out. To me, that's the biggest upset because I love watching him race, and he was doing obviously good enough in the points to make it exciting for an overall, and now he's just going to be dropping like a rock.
Mitch 381, you have to pick one rider to come out of retirement to race World Cups, race a World Cup. Who would it be?
And what are we wanting this person to do? Mix things up or win a race? Because if we want someone to fucking mix things up, Tori, get your ass back in there, dog.
Fuck yeah. Put me in, coach.
Yeah. Shit. Who has retired that I'm like, goddamn, I missed watching them? Mikey Day?
Fuck, you get like Bubba to race a World Cup.
Fuck, that would be sick, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Blow somebody up in a good way. Like, make a sick move.
From Gene Jansen, how the hell do we get rid of air horns? I mean, I think air horns are legit. You just don't want them going off before the gate, obviously.
100%. Yeah, look at all the sport events. I love when air horns go. Mountain bike races, I know it's different. Dude, when you hear air horns, someone's going by. That's sick.
From Hayden Harves, if the OSHA was today, do we think anyone can beat Romain or Joris?
No.
I mean, considering it's in France, no, I actually don't think so.
No.
I mean, no one's been able to beat him anywhere in the world, so why would you be able to beat him in France, the biggest race? Good luck.
Have fun.
Good luck. Yeah. Joshua McLean, thoughts on people holding the inside of the grips? That needs to be outlawed.
I like that it's only a select few.
I think it just, I don't like the, I don't, it honestly doesn't matter, but I don't think it looks good.
To some people, it looks really dorky. Romain kind of holds inside a little bit. Carlos holds inside.
Yeah, I don't love the look, but yeah. Who cares, really?
I only like it on the few people. I don't know why, maybe because it's so dorky, but yeah.
From Eli Shaw, can you explain U23 plate numbering system? Also, the series leader had a black background while everyone else had a gray. Is it numbers just random or what?
Sorry, so for, what was the question? Plate color backgrounds?
Okay, first part of the question, can you explain U23 plate numbering system? So how do they get the numbers they have?
Yeah, it's just random, I think. I honestly think it's something might have to do with like when they sign up, it's like, you know, they go in order, like there's numbers that just climb up, but it's very random. They have gray backgrounds. The black one is for the leader. Whoever has the black background is the points leader. Just like in Elite, it's red background is the points leader. Theirs is black.
Mm-hmm.
And then yellow is... Oh, fuck. There's a yellow and a green. I don't think they ride it, but I think the green is the fastest lap.
Really?
There was a yellow. Why was there a yellow? Was yellow fastest lap on the day? Green's fastest lap of the weekend? I don't think anybody's been riding with it, but I think you just get one. I think you get to hold it on the podium. You don't have to ride.
Yeah, I was gonna say because I haven't seen it. Yeah.
Now, if you check the podium pictures, like if you went to our favorite page, 15bmx.com, you can check. I don't know if they'll have it. Maybe if you go to the last World Cup, you'd have to call the way back. But you can click on it and then see that there's different color number plates people are holding.
Okay. From IRBMXUT, something needs to be done about the skin tight jerseys. They've gotten very tight, the jerseys. We talked about this, I think, after the Sarion's show, or after Sarion's, but they have gotten...
It's out of hand.
Do we think it's a little out of hand? Like, I don't know. They're pretty skin suity now.
It's like, thank God there is separation between the pants and the jersey, and nobody looks like they're wearing a complete skin suit all the way through.
It's coming.
But if it comes, dude, I'm going to be livid. Like, it's too much.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, the skin suit's a bit tough, but I mean,
we can't skin suit. If we skin suit it, like we're having a riot. Like we will.
I know.
Formal protest. Formal.
So yeah, like the BMX look has obviously not do that in the past, but like if you look at every other sport, like even border cross and stuff, they all have them.
Like gone to the skin suit, or you just skin tight jersey?
Yeah. Everything's gotten tighter in every sport. Like the 100-meter sprint, they do it.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'll be honest. I mean, like at the end of the day, it's not something that I see every time and I hate. It's just if I pay attention, I'm like, damn, that's annoying. I really don't mind it at the end of the day. I'm being realistic.
I mean, there's science behind it. It is faster than wearing like a baggy shirt or whatever.
100%. So, yeah.
it's kind of like, I think the sports just evolved that way. Yeah. I mean, yeah, like kind of doesn't have the BMX cool factor we probably all like, but
yeah,
I mean, I don't think they're worried about it. So
no. And also green background is U23 fastest lap. Yellow background is elite fastest lap of the weekend, of the day.
Okay.
The day of the weekend.
Okay. All right. Santiago del Estero 1 recap show. Yeah, we'll be back next week with the recap show. Looking forward to some more racing this weekend. I'll actually, on the show, I'm going to be back in Idaho this weekend, coaching another clinic on Saturday, Cherry Hill BMX. So we'll see you there, Idaho. But I'm going to catch the racing as much as I can.
The tour goes on, baby. The show don't stop. Show goes on, baby.
Show goes another on. Another action-packed weekend.
Love it. All right. Thanks, everybody. And enjoy the racing this weekend. Snap-on Green and ProGate Europe. Snap-on Green and ProGate Europe.
ProGate Europe, Snap-on Green.
Snap-on Green.
Yeah, well, what's this friggin' podcast all about? I don't get it, man. Coffee chatter?
Get off my back, guys. You have to defasten the truck.
I hate that guy.